So it's Saturday. You're listening to KSEO. Larry Stone, the county assessor of Santa Clara County, will be with us in a couple. We've got Cherie. This is interesting. Okay. As a matter of fact, when we talked to Larry, a buddy of mine from Arizona had texted me some questions to ask Larry.
Oh.
And, you know, and you got to love Arizona, who completely anti-gay, unless, of course, the Super Bowl or they're going to take Apple away. Okay, we didn't read it. We were going to vote for it. It's okay. You wouldn't take the whole game away, would you? Anyway, 312. Jacoby with you, along with Rachel and Rick, as we raise the standards on this first day of March. With us in the studio, we welcome to our broadcast table, as it were, my friend Larry Stone, the assessor of Santa Clara County. Hello, Larry.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see you, partner.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Lovely Rachel here.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Look, he's got a tuxedo on.
He
is
looks
this great?
Great. I'm telling you, he looks great. We're not going to get a picture.
I like a guy that dresses for radio.
Yeah.
I thought this was TV.
So do we. Now, I'm going to tell folks at home this because we talked about this in promos and on Facebook. You and I never take phone calls because, frankly, we don't care what people think other than us. Let's be honest. If it's, you know, like if it's a name, like Granford calls.
We care about your thoughts and your dreams.
Oh, we do love them.
And your hopes.
Your hopes we care about
your
completely.
Your dreams, your beliefs.
Yeah, we're not so big on dreams. Your aspirations, you're on your own. Yeah. But if you have a question about the assessor's office.
Right.
And, you know, maybe Larry can tell us exactly what's going to happen with the tax situation. Whether he wears boxers or briefs, I don't know.
That could be a question.
It could be.
I guess.
His office sent us a bunch of questions.
That wasn't on it.
By the way, big thank you to Stacy in your office. It's Stacy, right?
Deborah.
Well, whoever's... Deborah didn't send us. I got these from Stacy. No wonder these...
Deborah?
No wonder the other ones are on.
Well, I have a staff, you know. Each person does a little bit of everything.
Yeah. That's why I was just, I'll fix them. I'll send them questions.
Always something to be done.
All right, let's ask the obvious question. Other than an elegant swath, what does the assessor do in Santa Clara County?
Well, it's pretty simple. The assessor in Santa Clara County and all 58 counties has one major responsibility, and that is to identify and assess all real property, which is, you know, homes, condos, shopping centers, office buildings, and so forth, and something that most people don't know about, business personal property, which is machinery, equipment, computers, desks in businesses, and so forth, is also assessable and therefore taxable.
Well, you don't have a staff then. You have a legion.
I have 256 people.
Wow.
And a budget of about $31 million. Now, most of the time when I say that, they say, well, what the hell? Can I use the word hell here?
Sure you can. I was about to say the state teat must be sore, but that's all right.
What the hell does the assessor need that much money for and that many people? But when you look at it, you know, we get about, the two ways that the assessor knows about what's going on and what's assessable is through a building permit, meaning there's some kind of new construction, or a deed, which is some kind of change of ownership. So we processed almost 100,000 deeds last year, of which 27,000 of those resulted in some kind of reassessable event. And we get about 30,000 building permits, of which about 9 or 10,000 of those result in an assessment and therefore some kind of assessable event. And we conduct over 1,000 audits every year of major corporations, which is required by law. Every corporation that has more than $400,000 worth of assets located in our county must, by law, be audited on site every 4 years. And if the company is headquartered out of state, then we have to go out of state. So every year I send auditors to Chicago, to New York, to Miami, to Dallas, and
the Bahamas.
Well,
why not?
Yeah, you got to.
I'd go.
The Cayman Islands. I guess there's some corporations that have headquarters in the Cayman Islands.
Right? FEMA can't have all those breaks. Right. Well, the question, and you're an elected post.
Yes.
Is this an election year?
Yes, it is.
Well, coincidence, I wonder. He didn't show up last year. You notice that, Rachel?
Goodness.
It's election year. I'm going to go see Jacoby and Rachel.
Yeah, right.
So do you run by party?
No.
No.
We
party after we win.
Every local office by state law must be nonpartisan.
Okay.
So it's not till you get the legislature or the state offices where you run, where that's partisan. That goes back to, I think, 1917 when they said this this politics is bad, so everybody at the local level must be nonpartisan.
Well, the question from my buddy in Arizona talks about, and I don't know if this is something that you think about or are involved in, but you see a lot of things like New York is pushing very big right now, and most many states have over the last few years to get people to move to their states for tax breaks, because apparently California is not real business oriented on some levels. Do you have anything to do with that? Tax abatements, tax-free zones, things like that, or is that legislature?
That's all with the legislature. You know, in 1978, the public overwhelmingly passed Proposition 13, which provided some very strict rules, like the tax rate used to be set. You know, I used to be a mayor and a council member in Sunnyvale, so we would, every year before 1978, set the tax rate for our jurisdiction, as did every school districts, every county, and so forth. Proposition 13 said the tax rate in California will be the same at 1% of the taxable value or the assessed value of all of the property. And also, that's basically it. Another thing it did is limit the increase in assessed value to no more than 2% a year unless there's a change of ownership or new construction. So we have very little authority over any of that. In fact, no authority. So my job is to...
You're pretty much following orders.
Yeah. The law is very clear. And so the main thing is that assessment should be fair, equitable, and timely. And done, I think, with good customer service.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If a homeowner, property owner, landowner, building owner feels as though their value maybe has decreased or is less than is being taxed, do they need to hire someone to reassess, or can they handle that themselves?
No, most homeowners, it's pretty simple. If you had a shopping center or an office building and a complex appraisal and assessment, then sometimes you hire an attorney or an agent to represent you, but you don't have to do that if you're a homeowner. But if you believe the market value of your property is less than the assessed value, we're one of only 10 counties out of 58 that send assessment notifications out to all 378,000 property owners every year, telling them before the assessment roll closes on July 1st what their assessed value will be. And in that notice, it says, if you think you're overassessed, if you think the market value of your property is less than the number on that notification, then we invite you to call us, write us, fax us, email us, come into the office, or better yet, go online and ask for an informal review. And we will do a review, as many as we can, before about the middle of August. And if we agree, we'll reduce the assessment temporarily for that year to reflect the lower market value. There was thousands of those during the Great Recession.
But what percentage, can I ask, of those, in a ballpark figure, that you actually do lower?
Well,
remember the Harvey Corbin bit? Yeah. He says that's once in a blue moon.
But no, last year, of the informal requests that we received, about half of those got some kind of a reduction.
No.
But during the Great Recession, we proactively, meaning without being asked by the taxpayer, proactively reduced the assessed value on 136,000 properties, almost one quarter of all the properties in the county. Took $27 billion off the assessment roll, again, without being taxed, without being asked by the property owner.
That's great.
So you just did it.
Right.
You just went and did it.
Right.
All right.
I mean, our job, again, is to put accurate values on the assessment roll in good times or in bad.
Let me ask you this. You're saying it's 58 counties, is that what you said?
Yes.
California? I don't want to phrase it this way because having the best dressed assessor obviously is a good deal. But is there an advantage to the consumer living in a different county?
Well, in terms of, you know, there's an advantage because property values are higher here than most places in the state. But there is no advantage. The assessed value is the market value at the time you purchased the property, at either new construction or a change of ownership. And at that point in time, it can only go up a maximum of 2% a year. There's a ceiling, but there's no floor. So in 2010, during the height of the Great Recession, we had it's subject to the California Consumer Price Index. So if the if the California Consumer Price Index is more than 2%, then we can only limit it to 2%. But there's no floor. Mm. So in 2010, the California Consumer Price Index was negative. First time since the Great Depression, negative 2.43%. So everybody that owned property in all counties in the state got a 2% reduction in their assessed value that year.
All right. You can stick around a couple of minutes?
You bet.
We're talking with Larry Stone, the assessor of Santa Clara County. Why are you an elected official? Particularly how and what makes, what do you run on, like for re-election? Because I was just doing my job. I mean, are better assessors than others?
Well, first of all, all assessors in the state are elected. There's three countywide elected officials by state law in every county. The sheriff, the district attorney, and the assessor. The assessor is elected for only one reason, but it's a very good one, and that's to make sure the assessor is independent of the people that spend the money. I told you that we proactively reduced during the Great Recession the assessed value on 136,000 properties, took $27 billion off the assessment roll. If I worked for the County Board of Supervisors and I did that, I'd be down at EDD in an unemployment line.
Yeah.
So it's important that the assessor be independent of all the people, whether you're a mayor, a council member, or a member of the Board of Supervisors, that depends upon that money.
Why do people vote for one assessor, one candidate, as opposed to another? And is it limited to two candidates, or how does that work?
No. In fact, when I first ran, it was an open seat. I'd been mayor of the city of Sunnyvale, and I ran for assessor in 1994. And there was eight people running at that time, and then it was narrowed down in the general election to two of us.
Been assessor ever since?
And I've been the assessor for 19 years.
You're like Bull Connor. You're amazing.
Well, I was mayor and a council member, but that was part time. But I've been in the real estate investment development business for about 40 years. So
Okay. Began
my career originally on Wall Street many, many years ago.
Before the Great Depression, as
yes,
you call it.
Well, not quite
not that
much.
Great Depression. So again, why would, I mean, what platform would you run on that? Yeah. I mean, you obviously can't, well, you might, but you can't take credit and say, well, we reduced everything 2% because this, but anybody would have done that because that would have been legislated, right?
That's the law, right?
That's the law, yeah.
Although a lot of assessors don't necessarily do it like that. No, I'm really a manager. I mean, as I said, I've been a mayor and a council member. That's policy making decisions. I really manage 256 people, and management in government, is wanting in many cases, mm-hmm. as we all know. So what people expect is fair and equitable treatment. I tell my staff the only thing that we have going for us is credibility, that there's no special deals, that you'll be treated when you come into my office or just like I would treat my grandmother or something else. In other words, fair and equitable.
Yeah.
The largest single asset that most people own is their home.
Mm-hmm.
And if they think there's some funny business going on the assessment of their largest single asset, things can collapse fairly quickly.
Rachel, didn't we ask Deborah if we were going to get some special treatment by having him on? Am I wrong on that?
I don't think we asked Deborah that. No.
I thought that was one of the questions.
I don't think Deborah would be down with that.
Probably not.
Well, you'd have to get in line because I hear that question
a lot.
Can you help me out?
Well, you know what we were going to ask is where, and this is, you brought this up, Larry, where does the money go?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
It's something that I did not know before I became the assessor. So,
and bought this tuxedo.
Yeah. Well, 45% of all property tax revenue generated in Santa Clara County, and this is fairly standard throughout the state, goes to fund the public schools.
Huh.
About 18% comes to the county itself to fund county programs. 12 to 13%, sometimes 14%, goes to the 15 cities in Santa Clara County. 10% used to go to redevelopment agencies, and those are, of course, no longer around, but they still collect that money in order to pay the obligations, the debt obligations that redevelopment agencies have. 8% goes to community colleges, and 6 or 7% goes to special districts like the water district and the fire mm-hmm. district. So that's the allocation of the property tax revenue when it comes in. So it's mainly funding for schools.
Interesting. Well,
you had said that there are only four counties that send out notices.
10 out of 58.
10 out of 58.
That's a great service.
What, Santa Cruz County, what do they send it out? You know?
I don't know.
The reason I ask is because obviously it's a little difficult to ask for a reassessment if you don't know what's going on until after the fact.
Well, in most cases, in 48 of the 58 counties, the first time you find out what your assessed value is when you get your tax bill in October.
Yeah.
Now, you have an extended period of time to file an assessment appeal, but there's nothing that can be done because the bill is already out. We try to get ahead of the game and really ask people if they believe they're over-assessed. We try to reduce those assessments where appropriate, where they actually are over-assessed. You know, appraisals is more an art than it is a science.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will when we agree, we will reduce it before the tax bill goes out. So that reduces the number of assessment appeals. That is why Santa Clara County has far fewer assessment appeals year in and year out than any other major county in the state, because we try to get to people before the tax bill goes out, because then you have to file an appeal.
Right, and then the first installment's due December 10th.
Right.
So if you don't get that prior notice, you do need to pay that first assessment and then, or the first installment, and then probably you'll get a refund.
And any time that you have an appeal, you must pay your property taxes, because the law says the assessor's right until the appeal is resolved. So if you don't, statewide, it's a state law that there's a hefty penalty if you pay late, and that's 10% of the assessed value of your property, and for, you know, at one time. And so I always advise people, if you're in disagreement with the assessor or you're in an assessment appeal, always pay your taxes. And if it's reduced, either through an agreement with the assessor or at the assessment appeals board, then you get a refund.
Now, did you initiate this policy since 94 of sending these things out?
No, it was actually done by my predecessor at that time.
And served 40 years or how'd that work?
He was in the office for 32 years and he was assessor for 16. But at that time, when I became the assessor, we were one of only two counties in the state to send those notices out before the tax bill goes out.
All right, we're talking to Larry Stone, assessor of Santa Clara County. We're going to carry the one. Okay.
Like a mathematician.
It is. Yes. It is. That's good. That'd be perfect because Larry Stone's here. So what do you think that's worth? I don't know.
I do have a question about that.
Yeah.
Because
you tore your house down and left one wall up?
Well, we are going to talk. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, definitely. I was going to, just really quickly though, I wanted to do, what are some of the elements in when you value property? And then also, let's say the neighborhood changes. You know, your house is, you know, kind of moderate. And then all of a sudden, you know, big mansions start going up around you. Does that increase your property? How much weight is there on your surrounding neighborhood?
It does increase your assessment unless there's a change of ownership or new construction.
Okay.
And so if you remodel your house, this is a question I get asked a lot. Well, if I do a remodel, what's the assessor going to do? If you add square footage, well, let me give you my personal example. About a dozen years ago, I did a major remodel on my home. Replaced every fixture, I moved a wall too, but every fixture, every appliance, all new paint, all new flooring, all new roof, all new windows. I moved out for 3 months. That was all non-reassessable because all new cabinets, for example, granite countertops and so forth. I was replacing what was there. So that's non-reassessable, even though it's better, but you wouldn't do it if it wasn't going to be better. But if you add square footage, then we will add to your existing assessment the fair market value of the square footage you add. I added square footage to turn a family room into a great room, and I added a little bit to a master bathroom. So obviously the per square foot value of a master bathroom is greater than a bedroom, say.
Right.
So that was added. Now, if you tear your house down to the stud walls, in other words, you tear everything out, there's something in the law called substantially equivalent to new. And we'll give you credit for plumbing and electrical, but most of the time when you tear your house down, it's because the plumbing and the electrical is bad.
Right.
We'll give you credit for the foundation, but we will assess that as a new house. Many people believe that if they just keep one wall standing, and they tear their house down, that they can avoid reassessment. Total myth, never happens. You see that. I drive around and I see one wall standing, and I'm thinking these people are going to have a rude array.
But is there a percent? Is true on any level? If excuse the pun, but if they leave all four walls, is still doesn't make a difference.
If you gut your house.
Yeah.
That's substantially equivalent to new. Now, okay. There are certain things that you may keep that will give you credit for, like I said, the foundation or a garage or something like that. But basically, we'll reassess that. But if you replace in the existing structure things to make it better, cabinets and countertops and appliances and so forth, that we will not reassess that. You know, if the assessor had to chase every major remodel, we wouldn't be putting office buildings and shopping centers on the roll.
So if somebody bought, let's say your grandparents bought a house in the 30s for $800, still the same house. Maybe updated it, but I haven't updated anything dramatically. Are they still paying it based on the original cost?
If they still own it,
still own it. So it's grandfathered in. I mean, realize it's redundant.
The only thing that can change that is a change of ownership or new construction. In fact, there's a way that if you're over the age of 55, you can take your low assessed value and move it to another home within the county.
Okay.
As long as the new home, the fair market value of the one you sell, the one you buy, is not greater than the fair market value of the one you sell. It was designed for empty nesters. Or you can transfer your low assessed value to your children. And now even to your grandchildren.
Terrific.
That's wonderful.
Folks want to find out more if they have specific questions or they want to reach out to you. Can that be done?
It can.
There's nothing that he's memorized, by the way, folks. He said, let me get my card.
Well, let me give you my personal email address, because I forget what the other one is, but it's lstone96@hotmail.com. And I answer every phone call I get or every email I get.
And every interview request.
That's great.
That's right.
He actually answers as well. Larry is going to be on the show. We're going to bring him back because Larry has your sports bucket list is what, 44?
34 major sporting events on my bucket list.
Rick, you got to jump in here. You will love this. And he's been to the Masters. He's been to the Final Four. He's been to the seventh game of the World Series, Super Bowl. Rick, have you been to Super Bowl?
No.
Okay, because he can help us because he can get us some tickets. But the big ones you're missing, he hasn't been to the Iditarod.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that will be the last one on the list.
Go figure.
I just did 20, so I got 14 left.
Daytona and Indy.
Yes, both of those. And
Now, do you consider the Preakness in Belmont in addition to the Kentucky Derby, or just the Kentucky Derby?
No, I went to the Belmont Stakes many years ago. I went to the Preakness last year, and I've been to two Kentucky Derbies. I've been to all of the major golf tournaments except the British Open, which I'm hoping to do this summer.
Mm-hmm. Which of the horse racing tunes do you get more choked up? My Old Kentucky Home or East Side, West Side?
My Old Kentucky Home.
Yeah. I cry when I see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's really a classy, it's my kind of an event. You get dressed up for a sporting event, but there aren't too many of those.
You get dressed up for a radio show, for heaven's sake. Larry, it's great to have you here. And also why we've got you here in front of God and everybody. I want to thank you personally for your support of Jazz on the Flats in Los Gatos.
That's the greatest event that not to miss a one. You know, I fell into that because I met you.
Yeah.
And
the $300,000 donation didn't hurt. I'm kidding.
It was slightly less than that.
I'm delighted we met, and I'm also delighted that you're a part of it because we're so excited to see every year.
Beautiful.
Anyway, good to see you, my friend. You've got the tuxedo on. I know you've got other places to be.
I'm going to a dinner at the Fairmont Hotel in downtown San Jose.
Around like a wayward summer breeze.
It'll be lovely.
Please thank Deborah for us.
I will.
I'm sure we got
thank
to a couple
you.
Of
them. You
know, but if I go in and call her Stacy tomorrow.
No, that's one of the questions on the list now that I look is, why are you calling me Stacy? KSCO, let's do